There's so much pain and injustice. Where's hope? Hey, this is Sheree at Bible Project. In this episode, we're opening up Daniel chapter 7, where we discover a strange dream that has the power to transform our everyday lives with hope and purpose. Listen in.
Hi, this is Carissa at Bible Project. Thanks for joining us for this reflection on the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is set in the time of the Babylonian exile, one of the most painful experiences in all of Israel's history. The book is set right after Babylon's first attack on Jerusalem, when many people were taken as slaves to Babylon. Daniel and his three friends are the central characters, and they're among this group of exiles. Throughout the book, we see how God was at work in the lives of the exiles and also in the world, and that he hadn't abandoned his people forever. The first half of the book tells the stories of Daniel and his friends in Babylon, all that they had faced as they were faithful to Yahweh there, and how God protected them. The second half of the book, starting in chapter 7, tells us about the visions Daniel had about the future. One of the main messages of the book is that, like Babylon, many wicked kingdoms will rise up and do evil in the world, but one day God's kingdom would come and humble all kingdoms before him. The book of Daniel is one of our earliest examples in the Bible of what's called apocalyptic literature. It's actually a really common genre of Jewish literature at that time. Apocalypse just means to reveal, and here the revelation is all about God's work and plan in the world to bring about his messianic king. Apocalyptic literature is often filled with wild symbols and images, and in the Bible, these images tend to connect back to earlier chapters, especially Genesis 1 through 11. For example, this book draws strongly on the idea from Genesis 1 and 2 that humans are made in the image of God and called to rule on his behalf. When they fail to do so, they become like the beasts or animals. If they rule like that, they're horrible and evil. But if they rule as image bearers of God, it's good. Daniel is all about the true human to come who will rule on God's behalf and bring about his kingdom on earth. This is also the kingly figure we are waiting for from God's promise to David in 2 Samuel 7, the anointed one or Mashiach, Messiah. When we come to Daniel 7, we come to one of the most significant chapters in the book, and one that provides the basis for hope in the Messiah throughout the rest of the Bible. The visions in this chapter shape the way the Messiah is later talked about, so it's super important to be familiar with what's here, especially the reference to the Son of Man. In Daniel 7, Daniel has a dream, or a nightmare, rather, of four extremely gruesome beasts. I mean, these things are scary. They come up out of the sea, that place of chaos, and then an angel tells Daniel that these beasts represent powerful, oppressive kingdoms. Remember, Daniel's in exile in a powerful, oppressive kingdom already, Babylon, so this is terrifying news. There's more suffering to come, more power-hungry, animal-like kings that will rise up and take advantage of the weak. The very last beast has 10 horns. Throughout the Bible, horns represent victory or being exalted. It's meant to be something that God does for his people to raise up the horn of his people, but here, the horns represent different kings who have arrogantly exalted themselves against God. The last horn is larger than all, and it represents the worst of the worst of these kings. He oppresses God's people. The point here is not necessarily to identify these kingdoms. Whether these images match an order of events in the world, the point is that oppressive, beast-like rulers will come one after another. But there is a kingdom to come that is more powerful than the beast, and this is God's kingdom. Daniel 7 depicts Yahweh sitting on his throne above all, and this last beast is destroyed before him. And then, in contrast to the beasts who came out of the sea, Daniel sees a figure coming down from heaven. He describes him as one like a son of man. In other words, like a human. But not just any human, he's the true human, the one who embodies what humans were meant to be, rulers. So He's a true human, but not just a human. He's also divine. He comes down from the heavens, and verse 14 says that he has authority, glory, and sovereign power, and all nations of all peoples of every language worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Through this divine human figure, God will confront the beast and rescue those who suffer, and people will rule alongside this king as they were designed to. The cycles of oppressive rulers will continue throughout human history, but the book of Daniel encourages faithfulness despite oppression by offering hope to the suffering that God's kingdom will come. There is a kingdom that is more powerful than those led by beasts, and that is the kingdom led by the Son of Man. When Jesus comes on the scene hundreds of years after the book of Daniel, the most common way he refers to himself is as the Son of Man. If you were to just pick up the Gospels and start reading, this seems like an odd phrase to use, especially because it can just mean the human. But seeing it in light of the book of Daniel shows us that Jesus is claiming to be this human divine figure who is the true king over all. He will defeat the beast, both the oppressive human rulers and the spiritual forces that empower them, and rescue God's people. Though he comes as a lowly human, he has all authority, glory, and sovereign power, and all nations and peoples of every language will worship him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed.
Daniel 7, 9 through 14. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Daniel 7, 9 through 14.
Now let's review. The book of Daniel is a story about a group of Israelites who were exiled to Babylon. The book explores what it means to be God's people while living in a culture that's set against God's values. How do God's people remain faithful and confident in a situation like this? Daniel's strange dream gives us some insight. In it, we see there's a kingdom ruled by the Son of Man. He is the one with all authority, glory, and sovereign power. The unjust rulers of this world will fail, but the Son of Man's throne will never topple. So when arrogant kings rise up, the people of God can look to a more powerful king. His name is Jesus, and all his followers are invited to live in the humble values of his kingdom, even now, while living amidst the kingdoms of this earth. Let's reflect more on this. I have three questions for you to consider today. We'll take a moment between each question, but if you want more time, just press pause. Here's our first reflection. How can the arrogant beasts in Daniel's vision help you notice oppression in the culture around you. And now our second reflection. How do you imagine the kingdom of Jesus bringing hope to the oppression in your culture? And now for our last reflection. How can the Son of Man in Daniel's vision inspire you to stand up to the oppression around you? Thanks for joining us for today's reflection. Hey, don't forget, we have a video and more questions available if you want to continue exploring the literary themes in the book of Daniel. Check out the written lesson plan at bibleproject.com/study. Okay, before we go, let's pray. God, we all live in situations where we've seen authorities abuse their power against your image bearers. We wish we could say it was just them, but it's in us too. We've been guilty of pursuing our own advantage at the expense of others. You know the pain that causes, because you came, and you let our arrogance take you down to the grave. Also, you could rise up to your eternal throne and restore our lives and bring us peace. While we wait for your kingdom to be truly known on earth like it's in heaven, we ask for your help to live in the humble values of your kingdom today, and to stand up against oppression around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message was by Dr. Carissa Quinn. Our show production was by Cooper Peltz, Dan Gummel, and Zach McKinley. Our scripture reading was by Dan Gummel. Our theme music by Grant William Harold. And I'm Sheree Hayes, your host. Reflections is more than a podcast. It's a community of friends all around the world who are reflecting on the Bible all throughout the week. Friends like Ed.
This is Ed from sunny Beaverton, Oregon, and I listen to the Reflections podcast during my first break at work. Helps me get through the day.
Thanks, Ed. We love that you're a part of the Reflections community. Bible Project is a crowd-funded nonprofit located in Portland, Oregon. We provide free resources so we can all experience the Bible as a unified story that leads to Jesus. It's free because of the generosity of people from all around the world, just like you. Thank you.